Reading from the Old Testament this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppression, you have broken as on the day of Midian.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. It is the fourth chapter, verses 12 through 23. Let us hear the stories with ears wide open and hearts ready to receive God's word. When Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he went back to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, a lakeside town near the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. And then this way the prophet of Isaiah was fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea and the far side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who have lived in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began proclaiming the message, "Change your hearts and minds, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Your Bibles probably say repent. This one says change your hearts. As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he watched two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They fished by trade. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of humankind." And they immediately abandoned their nets and began to follow Jesus. Jesus walked further along the shore and caught sight of a second pair of brothers, James and John, Ben Zebedee. They were there in their boats, mending their nets with their father. And Jesus called to them, and immediately they abandoned both boat and father to follow him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven and healing all kinds of disease and sicknesses among the people. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. So this morning, Matthew tells us that when Jesus begins his ministry, he does not start in a palace or in a temple office. He starts with disruption. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. Something had shifted. An old voice is silenced. The world feels dangerous. And into the moment, Jesus does something truly surprising. He goes public. He walks into everyday places, a fishing town, along the shoreline, the working sites, and he makes an announcement. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, like I said, the Pew Bibles say repent, and mine had said change your heart. And that's because repent does not mean feel bad. It does not mean remorse. It means turn around. Reorientate. Look at the world differently because God is already closer than you think. And no sooner does he say that than Jesus starts calling people. not to a program, not to a building, but to a shared life. Jesus doesn't go searching for the religious elites. He walks the shoreline, and not the calm shoreline where we sit and watch the setting sun, chatting with our friends. He goes to the working shoreline. He finds Simon and Andrew throwing their nets, James and John mending their nets. You spend time in church for more than a year, this is more than once that you've heard this story. They are working people doing what they have always done. They are working people that are doing what their fathers have done before them. Their hands smell like fish and rope and water. And if you've ever been on a working dock, you know that smell. You know when you are close to that labor. Their lives are already full. Their lives are already full of their everyday stuff. And Jesus says something simple, or at least it sounds simple. Follow me. Follow me, and I will have you fish for people. Jesus does not say, how healthy are you? How capable are you? That you have to agree on everything. Remember, he's called two sets of siblings. Do they agree on everything? Speaking for myself, no. Jesus doesn't say, start a new institution. He simply says, follow me. And this is a continuation of the story that we've already had for 2 weeks of come and see and look, see what there's there from baptism to last week. Follow me. The call of Jesus often arrives not in dramatic visions, but in the middle of ordinary routines. When we're casting our nets, mending our days, fixing, maintaining, surviving. And here's the silly thing, that church is just like that. Church is usually formed in the ordinary places. Church does not necessarily happen right here in this, I'm going to use the big word, nave. We call it a sanctuary, but it's technically a nave because it's got the staves like a boat. All right. This is not necessarily where church happens. It happens out in Fellowship Hall. It was happening there this morning when we started worship. More than half of you were still out there being church, together out there. It happens at potlucks. It happens when you show up in the hospital room. It happens at those lakeside conversations, actually the one the sun is setting and you're sitting there with your friends having a nice chat. It happens at the community food banks. If any of you volunteer at Bacon, you see church every day when you are helping people. At Bacon. God's movement almost always begins where people already are. We sometimes imagine discipleship as individual. Discipleship is not individual. It is not my faith, my calling, my relationship with God. Discipleship is more than that. Matthew tells it to us in his story. Jesus doesn't call one person and then walk away. He calls pairs, he calls siblings, and he starts forming this small community. Simon and Andrew, James and John, we'll know those names forever because they're the ones that go constantly with Jesus on his adventures. The kingdom of God does not start with lone heroes. It starts with people learning how to walk together. And that matters for us. And that matters in the Christian life was never meant to be a solo project. Christian life was never meant to be a solo project. We are called together. We are called together across our personality differences, across our habit differences, across our political beliefs, across our worship styles and traditions, into something that is larger than any one of us can carry all by ourselves. We have to do this together. Faith grows when we walk beside one another, not when we compete for who is most faithful. Matthew says, immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. And don't we love to romanticize that line? But those nets were their livelihood, their security. Those nets are their identity. Those nets represent for us what keeps us safe in our security. It's our everyday routines, our control, our certainty, and I dread saying this, but the way we've always done it, that's our net, that's our security. We've always done it this way. We can't try something different. But Jesus doesn't ask them to stop being fishermen. He transforms what fishing means. He doesn't abandon their humanity. They offer it. The call of Jesus is never about erasing who we are individually. It's about reorientating who we are towards love and justice and healing and community. Jesus calls a very diverse group of people. And if we were to look at it through today's lens, I would dare say that it was an ecumenical group of people that he called. And that is really crucial when we start to look at it that way, that the disciples that he calls are an ecumenical group of people, because we live in a very ecumenical county. Most of you have dealt with that, the Benzie, I call it the Benzie area, it's actually the Benzie County Ministerial Association. We have United Methodists, we have ELCA, we have a Congregationals, we have two non-denominationals, Episcopals, Presbyterians, and we UCCers. And we work together to bring about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God right here in this county. We've had prayer services together. We've had meals together. We've done work together. We bring our nets with us, but we let Jesus reshape how we use those nets. And then from that, we move even bigger to Faith in Action, which we have done some work with them here in the county. I had the opportunity this weekend to do some work with Faith in Action, and it was phenomenal. And that ecumenical work turned into interfaith work. So I was with a group of people for prayer and fasting for 36 hours. And in that group, the Faith in Action group was very ecumenical. All the faith traditions were there. And then for interfaith, we had indigenous leaders. We had Muslim imams. We had rabbis. We had several Buddhist monks. But we also had trade unions show up. We had the presidents of the teachers union and the service workers union and the communications union worker. All of us together praying and fasting together to bring about the kingdom of God into the space. And it was phenomenal. It was overwhelming. I am thoroughly exhausted. But I am thoroughly filled with the work that we can do together when we stop saying, well, they're not like me, and I don't worship that way, and I don't stand in that ideology. We are called together. Read the back of the bulletin. That's a whole sermon unto its own. I should have just let you do that and not have to talk at all. Right. Ecumenically, interfaith, it's bringing about the kingdom of God. And know this, I've said it more than once and I'll continue to say it. Unity is not sameness. It's just a shared direction. We live in a world where many of us live in fear. Fear of others, fear of what people think or say, fear of acceptance, fear of, fill in your own blank of what that fear is societally. We live in that. But we shouldn't. We should not live in fear of following Jesus and living into our baptismal vows. This is a continuation of that story that we've been hearing, like I started off with. It's just more. It's layering on. And unity is not sameness. It is a shared direction. After calling the first four disciples, Jesus doesn't sit still. He doesn't stop. He calls eight more disciples. Tax collectors, zealots, a politician, a money handler, all together a group of men that would not normally have been associating with each other, but also a group of men that the greater community did not care much for. They were not the happy people in town. Jesus teaches, he proclaims, he heals, He does his ministry with this ragtag group of people. And Matthew tells us, and the news about him spread. This is not private spirituality. This is public faith. And know this, please. Faith that cannot sit at the table with difference is brittle. Faith that can listen and learn and still testify is resilient. We need to be able to sit and talk with each other. Unity is not sameness. It just means walking in the same direction. Each one of us bringing our own skills and talents. When we talk about being called together, whether it is in this nave, this sanctuary, this building, or with the ecumenical group or Faith in Action, or you name the other entity in which we can work together in, we're talking about more than worshiping side by side. We're talking about a shared mission, feeding, welcoming, advocating, listening, rebuilding, praying, and serving together. In small towns especially, if you've noticed this, we don't often ask people, what church do you go to? We ask, where do you serve? Where do you serve? Where are you helping somebody else? Ecumenical work is how the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, becomes visible beyond our four walls. So time out of mind, people have been called together to walk together, to work together, to bring about the kingdom of heaven. And when churches work together, when we work together here and when we work with other churches, we become bigger, we feel less divided in society, care becomes less fragmented, hope becomes more believable. Jesus does not say, build competing boats. Jesus says, follow me. And what's striking how simple this invitation is, follow me, it's not understand everything. It's not solve all of the church's problems. It's not be perfect. It's an invitation to be a partner, just to walk beside someone else. Ecumenical work, discipleship work, calling the same means working the same way. It begins with small, faithful steps, praying together, sharing space, serving side by side, trusting before agreeing. The disciples don't know where Jesus is going to take them. They only know that they are no longer meant to stand still, and neither are we. Matthew's story this morning is not a story about long ago fishermen. It's a story about the birth of the church as a community in motion. And we are called to not just believe, but to belong, not to just worship, but to witness. Witness what is happening in the world, in our community, in our state. Not to just to survive individually, but to serve together. We are called, as Jose Andres says from World Central Kitchen, to build longer tables, not higher walls. Jesus still walks our shorelines, our towns, our meetings, our shared ministries, our individual tables and our ecumenical tables, and says, follow me. And when we follow together, the kingdom of heaven comes closer, not as an idea, but as a lived, shared, healing process in the world. So the question is not whether is Jesus calling. The question is whether we will leave our nets and walk together. So may we hear the call not as individuals alone, but as companions in faith, as partners in mission, as churches bound together by Christ's love. May we follow together. Amen.